Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
Well, when's the last time you've taken a trip to the Northwest, the beautiful Northwest, places like Oregon? Let's drop in on Oregon. Governor Kate Brown of Oregon has just issued an order for masks to be worn outdoors if social distancing is not possible, even if people have received the holy vaccine. Got that? You can get fired from your job for not wearing the infernal vaccine, but even if you get it, you still need to wear those fun, wonderful masks. My friends, I really want you to catch the grand picture here. You're outside. You're outdoors. You're vaccinated. You're still wearing a mask. And you're doing this why? Because you're living in Oregon and because your governor is a Democrat. What else would she be? These days, Democrats could do anything, and they're trying everything. This is the same governor who has allowed riots to escalate in her state, all the while scaling back police response. But much as she's making a name for herself, there was a recent bill that has not gotten nearly the attention it deserves. I'm reading from Fox News. Governor Kate Brown, the Oregon Democrat, signed a bill last month with little fanfare that drops the requirement that high school students prove proficiency in reading, writing, or math before graduation, a report said. The Oregonian reported that the governor has seemed to avoid discussing Senate Bill 744. Her move to sign the bill was not public until recently because her office did not hold a signing ceremony or issue press release. The paper also pointed out that the bill was first signed on July 14th, but not added into the state's database until July 29 due to a glitch in the system. Brown's office did not immediately respond to an after-hours email from Fox News. In June, state lawmakers voted to approve a bill that suspended the requirements for students for 3 years. KATU reported. Foundations for a Better Oregon said in a statement at the time that the bill is intended to truly reflect what every student needs to thrive in the 21st century. Supporters of the bill insist that considering math and reading essential skills has been an unfair challenge for students who do not test well. The report said the requirement was first suspended at the start of the pandemic. The KATU report pointed out that Republicans have come out against the bill and claimed that it lowers expectations for our kids, but there was some bipartisan support. Well, yeah, of course, bipartisan support. There's always a rhino to go along with such nonsense. Anyway, I continue. Charles Boyle, the deputy communications director from Brown's office, told the paper in an email that staff from the governor's office informed legislative staffers about the bill's signing on the day it was passed. He also said that the new standards for graduation will help benefit the state's Black, Latino, Latinx, Indigenous, Asian, Pacific Islander, tribal, and students of color. The paper reported that the bill could stay in effect for 5 years until new requirements. The paper's editorial staff urged Brown to veto the bill back in June. Quoting now from the Oregonian, Oregon schools were among the last in the country to reopen to in-person instruction during the pandemic. Our legislators should be focused on how to help students regain the ground they've lost after a year and a half of distance learning and hybrid instruction, not on lowering our standards. All right, those were from various news sources, Fox News, the Oregonian, the local television station. Does any of this make sense? Of course not. Common sense hasn't mattered in a long time. Either has logic, either has facts. Indeed, not burdening students with facts seems to be the whole idea here. According to that local Oregon television station, KATU, the Oregon Department of Education recently sent a newsletter to math educators in the state. The newsletter contained information about a virtual micro course in math equity instruction that teachers could sign up for. It was titled Pathway to Math Equity Micro Course 2.0, valuing and elevating student discourse in the math classroom. The course was provided by A Pathway to Equitable Math Instruction, an entity focused on dismantling racism in mathematics instruction. Wow. Racism is in math. Yeah, only a racist would add numbers together to see if 2 plus 2 really makes 4. That's one kind of math. There must be other kinds of math, a non-racist kind. A Pathway to Equitable Math Instruction offers an 82-page workbook on how teachers can examine their actions, beliefs, and values around teaching mathematics. The idea here is that white supremacy can somehow show up in mathematics, especially when, quote unquote, the focus is on getting the right answer and students are required to show their work. Yeah, that too is racist these days. How dare you show your work? How dare you point out how you got the right answer? How dare you even talk about the right answer or emphasize the right answer? Who are you to use the word right? If you talk about right and wrong, well, that's just wrong. Well, it would be wrong if there was such a thing as wrong, and there is such a thing as wrong, but only if you're white. Not right, white. The group also says educators should try to center ethno-mathematics. What in the world does that mean? Well, you're probably a racist for even asking the question. But here's what they say it means: identifying and challenging the ways that math is used to uphold capitalist, imperialist, and racist views. Et tu, math? Mathematics is also racist now? My friends, are you catching on? Have you figured this out yet? They are going to call you a racist no matter what you do, no matter what you say. You just can't win. Tell somebody you're not a racist, that you weren't brought up that way. That makes you especially racist because you're in denial. Tell someone you admire a certain culture, even to the point of wanting to dress like them. That makes you guilty of cultural appropriation. A white couple decides they love black children so much they want to adopt them. They're guilty of colonization. And now the granddaddy of them all, a teacher who just wants to teach math, is now also a racist. Sure, of course. Basically, if you're white and still breathing, you're a racist, and they're getting away with this. Why? Because not enough people are standing up and letting their voices be heard. That includes you. My friends, think. Think. Just think for a moment while thinking is still legal before the thought police get here. What could possibly be more racist? What could possibly be more insulting and demeaning and degrading than saying that blacks and Latinos and Native Americans and Asians are incapable of doing math as well as white people? Those are the kinds of statements that came out of the Dixieland South, the Jim Crow South. Now it comes from our so-called liberal, tolerant, progressive educators. How do we know it's progressive? They call it progressive, silly. And if you don't recognize it as being progressive, it's because you're not progressive. Yes, sir. That's the new narrative. And you better get with it. You better march in step. A person's skin color determines their aptitude for reading and math. I know. They'll say it's about the experiences and background, not the color per se. The skin color just identifies the background. We immediately know everybody's background because of their skin color, right? They don't know what they're talking about because they make this up as they go, and the facts contradict them constantly, assuming we're allowed to pay attention to facts. Who outshines white students in the field of mathematics on test scores again and again and again? Asians. As for Latinos, on this very radio program, I interviewed a Latino with a PhD in physics. A good friend. Oh, wait. I shouldn't have said that. That's right. Almost forgot. If I claim that a Latino is my friend, that's especially racist. It's like the old saying, some of my best friends are black. Some of my best friends are people of color. But never mind. Just keep your heads in the sand. Don't stand up. Don't speak out. And the day will come when they remove you from your job. And the day will come when they remove you from your home because of your so-called white privilege. They may even take away your degree. Do you have a master's degree? Didn't you know master is a racist word? Makes us think about masters and slaves. How dare you have a master's degree? All right, that one hasn't happened yet. I'm being a little bit tongue-in-cheek. I probably shouldn't give them any ideas. But frankly, if it happened tomorrow, I wouldn't be a bit surprised because this stuff happens faster than you can make it up. Our country is being taken over by stupidity. Our country is being taken over by evil, sick racists. Yes, real, honest-to-goodness racists. And they're getting away with their racism by projecting it, by lying to you and calling you the racist. They are getting away with it because you are letting them get away with it. You're the enabler. You're so scared of being labeled a racist that you are labeling yourself a racist because, once again, whites who don't admit to being racist are especially racist. You are allowing them to label everyone a racist except the real racists themselves. My friends, there's an old saying, if you're sitting at a poker table looking around the room and you can't figure out who the sucker is at the table, it's you. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.